Small, cheap and deadly is a description that was first coined to describe the lingering and often devastating impact of landmines on civilians, but many critics see cluster bombs in the same light. Cluster munitions contain a device that, when opened, releases a large number of bomblets that are supposed to explode upon impact. However, they often have a high failure rate. This means that, like landmines, cluster bombs carry on killing and maiming people long after a conflict has ended. The deadly impact of cluster bombs on innocent civilians was highlighted during and after the 2006 war between Israel and Hezbollah forces, when more than a million cluster bombs were dropped on South Lebanon. The lingering effects of this massive use of cluster bombs by Israeli forces in South Lebanon helped add impetus to a growing international campaign to ban these types of munitions. Next week sees the opening of an international conference in Wellington, New Zealand, that is aimed at drawing up a comprehensive treaty to ban cluster bombs. Archbishop Silvano Tomasi is the Holy See's permanent observer to the United Nations in Geneva, and he spoke to me about the scourge of cluster bombs and why this conference is so significant.
It's the last step, in a way, in preparing the international community to address the issue of cluster munitions and the need to respond to the victims of these types of mines, munitions. And so the gathering that is going to take place in Wellington will see the participation of over 100 countries, some 500 participants. It's a large gathering that signifies concern and the priority that the world community wants to give to this issue. So the importance is both the fact that it will finalize the position and the alliances of these countries in pushing forward a new instrument for the banning of the use of cluster munitions. And second, the will to give a sense of progress to the issue of disarmament that in the last few years has not been moving very far or very fast.
When it comes to cluster munitions, does the Holy See believe that a ban on such weapons is needed and that, in fact, the use of cluster munitions is not morally permissible?
The position of the Holy See and some other countries is that to achieve the goal that we want to achieve, namely protecting civilians from harm in the case of conflict, these kind of weapons should not be used because they create an indiscriminate damage to both military and civilian targets. So the issue is how to protect people, and especially after a conflict when these munitions remain on the ground unexploded, protect children and women that are going to work in the fields or that are gathering woods or that are simply playing on the ground. And this objective of protecting victims is the motor, in a way, to push for a new instrument that ban these type of weapons. The ban itself, hopefully, will be clearly worded and specific, and it will facilitate the process of peacemaking, and it will give encouragement to all those who are working in the Conference of Disarmament to facilitate eliminating as much as possible the race for new arms and to give a sign that it's possible to work together in banning even other forms of weapons.
Have you met survivors of cluster bomb explosions? And if so, what impact did this have on you, seeing them and their injuries, their mutilations?
I did, actually. I had a chance a few years ago to be in some refugee camps and to see people that have just arrived crossing minefields, holding their leg amputated by the explosion of mines, and by remnants of cluster munitions, both in Africa, in the war between Ethiopia and Eritrea, for example, or in Asia many years ago at the end of the Vietnam conflict with the enormous amount of mines of all types, including cluster munitions, that have remained underground in Cambodia and in Laos.
What, though, are the main countries holding out against banning cluster bombs? I mean, there's a number of Western countries in this group, isn't there?
Yes, for the time being, there are reservations, and some of the big countries like China or the Russian Federation or other countries like Germany or the United States that have the willingness to do something in this area, to limit the damage to victims, but they have a very nuanced position that would move in the direction of having better technology, more precise technology that would ensure that the target of these weapons is strictly military. It's a process that is not so clear, in fact, and that's why there is still some negotiation in place.
Do you agree that, you know, if these weapons were to be made more efficient, that there could be a moral justification for them, or do you think they should be banned?
Well, my position and the position of many other countries besides the position of the Holy See is that we aim to reduce any kind of armaments, and therefore the priority should be given to eliminate the use of arms of any type, and in this case, the use of arms that, no matter how technically developed and precise, always become cause of damage and create victims. So we need to go beyond the discussion of technical ability to perfect these weapons and to really go for a ban. And in that way, we ensure that we will have more security in the long run and that we will protect people in a much more effective way.
The war between Israel and Lebanon, which saw, of course, a massive use of cluster bombs on the part of Israel, did highlight, shall we say, the lingering damage that these munitions can cause. Do you believe that the international community is moving slowly but inexorably towards a comprehensive ban, that it's only a matter of time now?
Two things. The case of the war in Lebanon has been a reminder of the great damage that these weapons are causing on civilian population and on children and women. And therefore, that the responsibility of the international community to the victims of these weapons has to be articulated in a clear and specific way. And that situation has given an impulse, has prompted many individuals, NGOs, state to move in the direction of a new legally binding instrument that will ban these munitions. And second, the conference in Wellington is preparing the final draft of an instrument that will be negotiated in Dublin in May with a view of arriving at an agreed binding instrument that will achieve exactly this goal of eliminating the use of these cluster munitions so that the world will no longer see people maimed by these weapons or children destroyed, even killed sometimes, by these remaining bomblets or mines in the ground long after the a conflict has concluded.
I was speaking there to Archbishop Silvano Tomasi, the Holy See's permanent observer to the United Nations in Geneva.